Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kritis. Today is Tuesday, March 24th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. The title of today's podcast is $6 trillion. That ought to do it. Don't you think? Well, we finally have somewhat of a price tag on the amount of stimulus that Washington, D.C. is going to throw into the system. During the daily coronavirus update this afternoon, we heard from also Larry Kudlow, who gave a remark and is noting that it's going to be $6 trillion, $2 trillion from Congress once they get their act together and vote for this thing. Of course, we don't want any type of bailout, but it's going to happen regardless of our wishes. So that's about $2 trillion. And then the Federal Reserve, of course, is not to be forgotten, nor are they to be outdone. So they're going to double it. Congress, what do you got? $2 trillion? We'll double it. Thank you very much. $4 trillion. So 2 plus 4, say it with me, is 6. $6 trillion. $6 trillion. Let's put this number into context, shall we? U.S. GDP is about $21 trillion. So we're about a third. About a third of GDP, what we produce within the borders of the United States of America throughout the entire year, accumulates to about $21 trillion. Over the course of the next month, we're going to flood the system. We're already currently flooding the system with the Federal Reserve. We're going to flood the system with $6 trillion. About a third of our economy is going to be, quote unquote, flooded. This is the stimulus coming into the system. But if you break down $21 trillion divided by 12 months to a year, you come out with $1.75 trillion per month. $1.75 trillion per month. Well, if you take that $6 trillion and you divide it by 1.75, you get about 3.5 months. So what would typically be about 3.5 months worth of GDP contribution is going to take place at the drop of a hat. The Federal Reserve's already on its way. One facility after the next. The more facilities, the more acronyms. We announced these yesterday. The more acronyms, the more facilities that they create, the bigger the problem. That's all you need to know. You don't necessarily have to understand what they all stand for, what they all actually do. Just understand that the more that there are, the bigger the problem. It's a way to distract and say, oh, well, you got to look at this facility or you got to look at that credit facility. No. I understand what you're talking about, but you have to look at this facility. So they want you running around like a chicken with your head cut off, trying to investigate all of these different facilities. Stay focused. Stay focused. $6 trillion. What is this in the context of tax revenues? Well, we bring in about $3.5 trillion in tax revenue. It's not enough, of course, because we spend about $4.7 trillion, which is why we're already scheduled to have a deficit of $1.2-$1.3 trillion this year alone. Now you tack on an additional $2 trillion. Well, there you have it, folks. There you have it, because we're not cutting spending anywhere else. Say, oh, well, we're going to make up for it. We're going to cut $1 trillion worth of something in the budget now, and then we'll be okay, because we're going to partially finance this by cutting spending. That's not taking place. That's not taking place. So this is above and beyond, right? And we still don't know when, quote unquote, the president is going to open up the economy. It's not his to open. It's not his to close. This isn't a dictatorship, of course. We don't know if it's going to be Easter. Now it's supposed to be Easter. Maybe. Very flexible. Donald Trump says Easter, and then Dr. Fauci comes out and says, oh, it's very flexible. We don't know yet. And then what about the states? Can Trump override the states and the governors if they say, no, we're shut down? What's going to happen there? Is New York or California just going to bow to Donald Trump? Gavin Newsom, governor of California, Governor Cuomo of New York, you think those guys are just going to say, okay, all clear, because Trump wants everybody back to work? I don't think that's going to take place. I don't think that's going to take place. And it doesn't help to come out and say we're going to open up in Easter, maybe, and then have your guy, Dr. Fauci, come out and say, well, it's very flexible. This causes a lot of confusion. Get on the same page, please. That's all I'm asking. Same page. You want people to go back to work, then just say you want everybody to go back to work, and we don't care about testing. We don't care if people get contaminated, infected. We don't care if there's overruns in hospitals and healthcare workers get sick and then they can't take care of people because they're sick. If you don't care about that stuff, then fine. Let everybody go back to work. But at least just come out and say it. Just come out and say it. Don't do this back and forth stuff. Make up your mind. Make a decision. $6 trillion. And of course, if you pay attention to, of course, the partisan politics on everything, everybody's complaining, right? Because it's all politics. You know, the Democrats, they came and they want to do this, and the Republicans don't like it, and the Republicans want to do this, and the Democrats don't like it. Can't we just get together and spend $6 trillion that we don't have? Can't we do it? Oh, we can't do this. The Democrats have put in a thing with Planned Parenthood. This is ridiculous. How dare they do this? What about the $6 trillion? Does that matter to you? Or does it matter? This is what I'm talking about, people. You understand this divide and conquer? And the American people take it every single time. Hook, line, and sinker. Let's not pay attention to the $6 trillion. Four of it is just funny money that they're printing up out of nowhere. And the other two we don't have. So they're going to have to print that up, or we're going to have to borrow it plus interest. So the taxpayer who's bailing himself out, plus corporations, plus the entire financial sector, is going to have to pay for all of this bailout. One pocket now to take it out of another pocket later, plus interest. See how this works? You see how this is a problem? Nobody thinks past first base. What happens if you get on first base? How are you going to get on second? How you get on third? How are you going to get home? What's the process? Does it make sense? Maybe it's best just to not even go to bat. You know, in this instance, that's the case. No bailouts. Let the market do its thing. Let debtor and creditor come together and negotiate their terms. Let companies go through bankruptcy. Let them restructure. Let new management take the helm. Let markets work. Because what's going to take place after this is going to be just devastating, completely devastating. Any trust in the U.S. dollar is pretty much going to be evaporated. Any trust in the reputation of the United States is going to be evaporated. The only thing we got going for us is this is also going to be the case for everybody else around the world, because they're all doing these stupid antics at the same time. It's a race to the bottom. It's a currency war. It's a complete debasement. Well, you wait until you live in a banana republic, and it's right around the corner. You wait until you live in a highly inflationary, perhaps hyperinflationary environment. Call your buddies up in Zimbabwe, ask them how they're doing. Call your amigos up in Venezuela, ask them how they're doing. Understand your history with Argentina, ask them how they fared in the past. Because that's what's coming. It's not just going to be here. Again, it's going to be everywhere. And this will eventually lead to more civil unrest, civil war, civil strife, overthrows, wars. Again, I hope I'm wrong. But to me, the writing is on the wall. It's as clear as day. Because there is no free lunch. And these guys are just getting started. Because this is assuming that this is sort of best case scenario, that the coronavirus will be wiped out or it'll go away in a month or so, maybe even sooner, because Easter is only a couple weeks away. And then everybody will go back to work, and then all of this BS, pent-up demand, everything's just going to be perfect. And then the stock market's going to come back to life. Maybe. All of this money is going to have to find its way somewhere. And we've had a decade of history that indicates that that's probably where it's going to head. However, I'm skeptical this time as to that being the fact, that all of this funny money is going to make its way into the stock market again and back into the bond market. Now, to the bond market, because the Federal Reserve is going to have to finance all of this, because there's nobody with enough money out there to finance this insanity. So bonds, yeah, they're going to do it to keep yields down, assuming $4 trillion enough. I'm highly skeptical that that's the case. This is, again, QE, infinity, and beyond. Our podcast yesterday, helicopter money. Here it comes. MMT, modern monetary theory. This is ludicrous. It's a banana republic. Right in front of our faces. And yet, if CNN or Fox News or whoever it is gets up there and talks about, oh, well, the back and forth between the Republicans and the Democrats, they don't like that. Pay attention to the $6 trillion. These details are irrelevant. Irrelevant. It's all wasted. It's all squandered. This is not going to benefit this country. It is not going to benefit this economy. It's a complete sham, a complete farce. Just like it has been. If all of this miracle funny money was so fantastic over the past decade, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. We would have a solid foundation. We got rocked a little bit. Wouldn't be cratering. We are cratering. And the reason we're cratering and the rest of the world is because all of this was built on a foundation of sand. It's a house of cards. It's tumbling down. Had the opportunity to straighten the ship during the great financial crisis, but we can't do that. That would have been the right thing to do. It would have been the honest thing to do. It might have been actually a little bit more of the difficult thing to do, to ask people to sacrifice a little bit more, to understand that we messed up. A little bit of honesty, a little bit of truth, a little bit of leadership. Didn't have it then, don't have it now. So we're going to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. The definition of insanity. $6 trillion, and I can assure you it's just getting started. Because it's make-believe fairy dust that people say this is the fault of the coronavirus. The coronavirus is the pin that pricked the everything bubble. We have not seen anything yet. We've barely seen downgrades. They're starting to come out very, very slowly, if you pay attention. Very, very slowly. Some of the airlines got it. Some retail's getting it. I think Neiman Marcus is in talks with filing for bankruptcy. Major retailer, luxury retailer. Neiman Marcus. I think Delta Airlines was downgraded to junk. And don't forget, we're still in the midst of an oil price war. We haven't even started to see a lot of bankruptcies, restructurings, or any type of major layoffs yet. Those numbers are coming. Or any type of downgrades in the energy space. Perhaps S&P, Moody's, and Fitch, the credit rating agencies, are simply waiting, hoping that oil prices skyrocket so they can say, oh, God, thank you. Oh, thank goodness oil prices and natural gas skyrocketed again so we don't have to downgrade all of these companies that most of them are already in junk as it is. Sigh of relief. That's what they're waiting for. They're just hoping this oil price war is just going to be short-lived and it gives them enough cover to just sort of wait it out on the sidelines. Maybe they'll throw a sacrificial lamb out there here and there. But we have not seen the waves of downgrades and warnings yet. But they're coming. They're coming. You just have to understand debt. You just have to understand what's taking place in these markets. And a lot of what the Federal Reserve has done to date has just kept the system afloat. So this isn't any type of, again, quote-unquote stimulus. This is survival tactics for the system that needs to be crushed. It needs to be abandoned. And we need to restore our constitutional republic, and we need to restore free market capitalism. Period. $6 trillion. Oh, you can't even make this stuff up. So we bring in about $3.4 trillion in taxes. So that's 2 years worth of taxes. 2 years worth of taxes. Because, folks, the government doesn't make money. It takes it. It takes it from you, and it takes it from people who are working. Well, we don't have people working, so your tax base is diminishing. You don't have as much people working, you can't have as much tax dollars coming in. Okay? They're not working, there's nothing to tax, there's nobody to tax. So this is a perfect storm. This is why you try to run budget surpluses. I know those out there are laughing, because that's just not going to happen in this country under this current paradigm. That's why you try to save for a rainy day fund. Have some type of cash reserve. All of the airlines, all of these industries coming to Washington on bended knee asking for assistance from us, the taxpayer. So many of them spent tens and tens and tens of billions of dollars on share buyback programs, completely squandered. All of the artificial gains in the stock market that created, completely wiped out over the course of 3 weeks. And now they're asking for us to bail them out. What happens if they save some of that money instead? What if they cushioned it, right? Then maybe they'd have cash to sustain themselves during these uncertain times. What a thought. But no, can't admit to any mistakes there. Let's just go to Washington, D.C. and ask them for a bailout. And lo and behold, we have a president of the United States who's happy to do so, along with the Congress, who's happy to do so. No outrage. Nobody's going to filibuster this. Nobody's going to make sure that this thing dies in the cradle. Nope, not going to happen. It's going to be voted for and it's going to be signed. And then you'll have your bickering over some of the politics, which has absolutely nothing to do with anything. Because I can assure you that $6 trillion tops it all. Tops it all. And we're not done. We're not done. CapitalNews.com, you can check out our capital economics presentation. Are central banks out of ammo? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's why they're throwing everything in the kitchen sink at this. That's why they're coming up with acronym after acronym after facility, just in the hopes that something sticks, that something gives the market an ounce, a shred of confidence that they're going to solve this. It's not working. You know, some people can attribute today's massive rally, which again, we have not seen since 1933, in the depths of the Great Depression, to the fact that Congress is very close to passing a stimulus program. But that's just a bunch of nonsense. We all know this. No market goes straight up, no market goes straight down. And we know that the sharpest and strongest rallies, counter trends, happen in bear markets. So this is just history doing its thing. Problem is, we don't have too many people in government or leadership anywhere else that is going to inform the people of this. Kudos to anybody who does. At least a little bit of information might be getting its way out there. For the purpose of context, I had to look up the American Society of Civil Engineers. You can Google these guys, American Society of Civil Engineers. They do a lot of stuff, obviously, but they put out a report card for the infrastructure of the United States every 4 years. The last one was in 2017, so the next one will be due next year. The current grade that we have here in the United States is a D plus. A D plus. We are a first world country, supposedly. That's what they tell us. I don't know. But we have a D plus rating when it comes to our infrastructure. You know, I remember reading a report of theirs. It was years ago. It wasn't the 2017 report. So it had to have been, you know, 2013, maybe even the 2009 report. At that time, it was still a D plus. I remember. And the American Society of Civil Engineers said, well, according to our calculations, just to get our grade from a D to a B was going to be a few trillion dollars. Just to get to a B, not even an A, a B. I don't even think it was a B plus. I just think it was a straight up B. A few trillion dollars. Again, that was at least in 2013. It's now 2020, and here we are at a D plus. Still, nothing being done. We're going to blow through $6 trillion like it's going out of style, because it is. And we're still going to have a D plus report card on our infrastructure. So there's nothing to show for it. Absolutely nothing. Because, again, I've stated this here many, many times before. If people don't believe or agree with my philosophy, that's fine. You say, well, Alex, well, there's a lot of taxes, but look how much you get back in return. Really? Really? I got a D-plus infrastructure report card here. I have endless wars that are crushing us financially. I have trillions of dollars that are unaccounted for at the Pentagon. Really? A lot to show for it. I have schools that are failing. Kids can't read and write. Can't do arithmetic. $1.7 trillion in student debt. These kids can't find a job, can't pay the debt off. I mean, what are you showing for it? A Congress that can't get together and do anything and tell us the truth? So here, you can find this again on their website, but I'm just going to go through the list real quick here. Give you the sector and give you the grade. Aviation is a D. Bridges, a C+. Dams are a D. Drinking water is a D. Energy is a D+. Hazardous waste is a D+. Inland waterways is a D. Levees is a D. Wastewater is a D+. Transit, a D-. Solid waste, a C+, going strong. Schools, a D+, which coincidentally I hope is not the case, but it might be. That could be the average grade of the average senior graduating from high school. I hope that's not the case, but a D plus for schools. Roads are a D. Rail is a B, as in boy. B for rail, probably because, this would be my educated guess without digging deep into the details, because I know that the rail industry is responsible for a lot of their own infrastructure upkeep. So privatize something and look what happens. You get a good grade. Public parks, D plus. And ports are a C plus. So there's your report card by category according to the American Society of Civil Engineers. Again, a D plus according to their most recent report card in 2017. This has been the trend for many, many years. So, again, in the context of $6 trillion that is basically being created out of nothing, we're going to have nothing afterwards to show for it. Except a system that needs to be crushed is going to persist at least for a little while longer until all of these debt chickens come home to roost, which they're already in the process of doing. But now it's going to come at a time where it's likely going to create high levels of inflation and quite possibly hyperinflation. A little bit more to the markets. We have crude oil, WTI, at $24.75 a barrel. Brent is at $27.81. Natural gas up a little bit as well at $1.85. Gold and silver had quite the run-up today, but at the time of this podcast, are pulling back slightly, but we have gold at $1,610 an ounce. Silver at $14.34 an ounce. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I have to believe this is because of all of the funny money that is being printed the world over. People know this. I mean, go on any type of precious metals dealer and try to get gold or silver or any other type of, you know, platinum, precious metal. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. Out of stock, you know, send me an alert me notice when something comes in or when I can finally place an order. And then once you look at the prices, you're going to say, my goodness, the price to buy some of these coins or bars or whatever you're interested in is it's almost twice as high as spot, which is $14. You can go on some of these sites and look at, for an American Eagle, a silver dollar, $24, $25 for one. There's a huge disconnect going on in these markets. Huge disconnect. And I would have to imagine those who are grabbing and trying to get their hands on the precious metals physically, they're not going to give it up anytime soon. I can almost assure you, at a minimum, most people that are holding on to gold and silver, especially if they're buying it now at these prices well above spot, if it comes to silver, you probably have most people thinking they're not going to give it up until silver hits $50 an ounce, maybe even $100 an ounce. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. And if it does happen, I'm not saying it's going to happen quickly. But it could. People holding on to gold probably think it's going to 2,000. That's the next major mile marker for gold. So I imagine the people who are buying precious metals, especially at these prices well above spot, are going to hold them for quite a while. Because they have to. Just to break even, they would have to. Because they're paying such a premium. If you have spot prices, $14, and you're going to go out there and willing to pay $24 per coin, you're probably going to wait until at least it's at $24. So you say, well, I can break even here. Get what I'm saying? So pay attention to the space. I mean, these people they're destroying our currencies. Because it's not just here in the United States, it's everywhere. It's global. They're destroying it. So you better have something physical. Again, I don't give advice, but do your homework. I give information. I tell you what I do. I tell you what I think is right. You do your own homework. You do your own investigating, and you see if it's right for you. There are ways to play it. You can own it physically. You can get some of the ETFs, own the gold, silver miners, anybody that's involved in the precious metal space that way. It's part of portfolio diversification, if nothing else. I've been saying it here for a long time. We are in the midst of a long-term, in my opinion, bull market run when it comes to precious metals. Because there is no end in sight to this stimulus after stimulus, bailout after bailout, money printing after money printing. People are going to look for alternatives. Well, gold and silver have been those alternatives for millennia. Okay? For millennia. People trust them. It's amazing. We talk about it in our book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing. We do a short chapter on it. Pricing things in gold. Just understand the difference between financing or paying for something with dollars versus gold and how stable it is if you price something in gold as opposed to dollars. You see great amounts of volatility priced in dollars, but when you price something in gold, it's pretty stable over time. And that's what you want in a currency, in any type of money that you adopt. $6 trillion, that ought to do it. I think I've beat this horse to death and then some. I think you understand my point, the insanity of it all. This audience, those of you who have been with me for a while, again, I'm very thankful that you're with me, but you understand what's going on. This is not a surprise to you. At least it shouldn't be, because we've been predicting this and discussing this for quite a while, that they're going to need a bigger boat, and then they're going to need a bigger boat and another bigger boat and another bigger boat. It's just not enough, because they're not going to come to terms. They're not going to come to a podium and tell you that they've messed up. They're not going to tell you that the system that they have adopted and implemented is bringing all of us to our knees, is collapsing the system. And it's a system, of course, that has to go. But they're not going to come out and tell you this, because they're the guards of the ship. They're the ones who are managing this thing. Nobody wants to take the blame. No politician, no central banker, nobody. So $6 trillion now, we'll see what it becomes next week. Because just a week ago, it was $700 billion in quantitative easing from the Federal Reserve, and now it's unlimited. They'll just write themselves a blank check. And who's going to keep them in check? That's right, absolutely no one. $6 trillion, that ought to do it. Thank you so much for joining me today, ladies and gentlemen. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out, leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.